The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hour, a lot of guests and some pretty crazy calls. We're open for business. Let's continue with more of your calls here. A little bit later on, we have a few more guests. Let's check in with Rick in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Paul. Well, you might have set a personal best time today to be called a Bama hater and a liar in the first few minutes of your show.
I can't tell you the last time I was called a Bama hater. I mean, we're going back maybe to the 80s.
Well, hey, you know, I was going to talk LSU football, but let's go past that. Gordon Lightfoot died the other day.
Yes.
And one of the all-time great singer-songwriter storytellers. In your opinion, who were some of your other favorites? Because I know that you really cared about lyrics.
Yeah, that's a conversation Danny and I from the show have a lot, because even though he's considerably younger, he's part of that generation. Probably the first record I think I ever owned was James Taylor's Fire and Rain. So I've always I kind of gravitated to another Canadian, Neil Young.
Yep.
I liked
his. Of course, you know, Jim Croce was great.
Yeah, he was.
I was
definitely into singer-songwriters. And, you know, I mean, Gordon Lightfoot, you know, he had some really, really great lyrics. I don't think I ever saw him, but I will say about 4 years ago, I was in, I went to the Grand Canyon, and we were driving back, and all of a sudden I looked at the name of the road, and it was Carefree Highway. I said, man, I know that song.
Well, you know, as a kid, my parents, man, all they listened to was country music, and
right.
Gotta tell you, I hated it. But of course, the older I've gotten, you know, turned 65 last month, the older I've got, I've garnered an appreciation for older country music. And one of the things I found out, and it surprised me, that Marty Robbins actually wrote a lot of his songs. And, you know, of course, El Paso, so he kind of fits in that mold of a singer-songwriter storyteller.
You know, it's funny, Rick, I didn't listen to country at all growing up, and I later came to really like it. And I think it helped to meet some of the country artists, and the lyrics are really good. I've always thought if I didn't do this, I would be a lyricist and probably go broke, but it's always been one of my pastimes, attempt to be a songwriter.
I know the feeling. My best man in my wedding was a songwriter, keyboardist, and in the 80s he was part of a fairly well known Christian rock band that put out a couple albums, but I'm tone deaf and can't sing at all, so.
I told this story once, Rick. I went into a studio about 10 years ago with a famous songwriter, and we it was all for fun, and we did write a song together. And I realized how if you have never done it before, you better be around some talented people, because I don't understand music well enough to put that part of it down. But it was really an amazing day, and I learned a lot. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Very cool. Dan is up next.
Thank you very much, Paul, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
But, you know, sometimes I don't agree with you, but I don't think you're a liar.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Anyway, Paul, I was going to talk about the quarterbacks. Jim kind of threw me a curve there, and I think he did everybody, but it's okay. The quarterback situation in Alabama, they're bringing in this new guy, and you think he's going to start. And if he don't, that's kind of a disservice to him, I believe.
Well, Dan, I'm basing my thought there on the need, if you're leaving Notre Dame to go to Alabama to be with your former coach, I would want to know, in his mind, do you think I can be the starter? And I think that's what he had to ask him. Coaches never admit that. But if he's not the starter, then what does that say about Alabama's quarterback room?
It's messed up.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, they're pulling at straws. But everybody talks about the running quarterback nowadays. The running quarterback, does this guy run with the ball?
Yeah, he's got dual ability. He sure does.
Okay. I don't know much about him. But I don't see, you know, I've seen a lot of championship teams that had pocket passers. You know, like Joe Burrow. I mean, he could run, but when he had to. But Tom Brady. You know, really great quarterbacks that they had the offensive line and a running back in that took care of the quarterback where he didn't have to run. And also, they say Alabama's going
to
be a running.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the thing about Buckner is based on the few games I've seen him play, he was very good with his feet.
Okay, but gosh. I don't understand. What's the matter? They can't get offensive linemen that can handle defenses? Have the defenses become that, you know, that more proficient at, you know, sacking quarterbacks?
It's a fair point, Dan. Hey, thank you very much for the call. How about Will in North Carolina? Will, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. You beat me to the punchline on Jim's call. Like you said, greatest call of the year so far. So short and sweet. I finally got to watch the orange and white game since they put it on the network, and I'm pretty excited. Nico looked good. They added a few more consonants to his name than what the journalist you had on, I thought last week, was trying to pronounce it. But two things quick about the NFL draft. I'm still kind of bitter about that. First thing is, I felt like the NFL kind of, along with everyone else at the end of the year in college, sort of devalued Josh Heupel's system. But second thing is I've been thinking the past 2 years that Florida, I've been feeling sorry for Florida, but, I mean, you know, Florida wasn't devoid of talent. They've had quite a number of people get drafted, last week. So maybe they was missing a few playmakers or whatever, but Florida had talent on that team, you know. So I was going to see your thoughts on that.
There is talent, but it's what you do with it and whether you have depth. There's a lot of aspects to talent. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bruce is in Memphis. So hello, Bruce.
Hey, yes. Hey, Paul, this is Bruce. I'm an Alabama fan, and I'm just sick and tired of people saying about Nick Saban and you that you judging everything about what you know about the program. But if I can say this, Jalen Melrose, if he starts, he is a great guy. Could think about it. Well, we had Jalen Hurts. What did he do? He was a first look, and then next thing you know, he take off running. If he don't see it, take off running. So Jalen Melrose have that ability to do certain things in that, because it's a program. It's not the NFL, but look what Jalen Hurts just did for the NFL. You got to look at this guy, but now everybody's saying he in the transfer portal, he going to do this, do that, we got a quarterback, and now he got to win over the locker room? Come on, you got a guy right here that's a beast of a guy, but his arm strength probably not as just as what it's supposed to be right now, because Jalen Hurts had the same thing. And I'm tired of hearing my Alabama team talk about, oh, you wrong. No, but basically you right. Because Nick Saban got to figure it out for himself on what he really wants. Because if you bring another guy into a program and you think he's going to win over the locker room,
well, Bruce, I agree with you on Milroe. To me, Milroe had won over the locker room. He just apparently has not won over the coach's staff. And you've already insulted him by saying, we don't think you're good enough. We're going to get a guy that was once a highly regarded quarterback. And that's where the rub is. I have no idea whether Buckner will win the job. I think he has a lot of advantages, though, in winning it.
Yeah, because Melrose won a couple games.
Well, yeah, he won. When he won.
Bryce Young was down.
He saved the season in some respects. He came in the Arkansas game and delivered big.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, Paul. It just don't make any sense on because Melrose is trying to look up. I'm not gonna lie to you, Mero wanna look up, but their arm is just a little bit too strong. He can throw the deep ball. But if he don't see anybody open in the secondary or the slants, he takes off running. He, matter of fact, he should be a running back or a tight end or something. But that's what he does though, but I don't just see how they just Mero, like, you know, you gotta give him time, give him more time. Talk to him. Give him more rest.
Well, Bruce, you're right, but like, here's the issue I have with what they're doing. Alabama is not going to wait till fall camp. They're starting in June. They'll have 7-on-7s. There won't be any coaches on the field, but they'll be watching from above, and they'll know what's happening. And with five quarterbacks, you cut down on reps once you get to August. And, you know, the first couple of days of practice, someone's going to get left out. I mean, you can't give that many reps out. So
it almost sounds like it's a definite thing if he wanted out or they just want to get rid of him.
They wanted Milroe out. That's just an impression. I'm without knowing anything more than you know.
That's true, though. But that's totally kind of unfair because Melrose did some things like last year. He did some really good things. He not lost a game or anything like that.
No, you're right. Bruce, but if you were trying to make Melrose happy, you wouldn't have brought in a guy to compete for the job. Thanks for the call. We're heading to a break. Guests in the next hour, more time for your phone calls straight ahead.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and we appreciate all of you being here. Shannon is up next in Georgia. Hello, Shannon.
What's going on today, Paul? How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Hey, Paul. You're an expert on college football, SEC football, Alabama football. Thinking back to all the assistants and hires that Nick Saban has made during his time at Alabama, how risky of a hire is this hire of Tommy Rees, in your opinion?
Shannon, potentially it's very risky because he's gone from a guy like Bill O'Brien who has a huge reputation, but in no way was Brian Daboll or Sarkisian or Lane, to go to somebody who has a reputation, but by no means a proven reputation. He's changing the system. He's changing the approach at a time when he no longer is at the epicenter of the sport. So yes, it's risky, because if it's a mistake and a bad mistake, then he loses valuable time while he's trying to catch up.
Yeah, I've just been spending some time thinking about it, Paul, and this is my take on it. And it's, you know, everybody's got a take, and none of them really matter. But this is probably the riskiest hire he's made. He's hired some guys that came out of, you know, the Saban rehabilitation program, you know, terminology that people threw around for a while, you know. But if this fails, if Tommy Rees doesn't work out, he's disrupted his offense to bring in a new OC, but he's also disrupted his locker room if that quarterback doesn't work out.
Correct.
You know, it's a heck of a gamble this late in the game in terms of his career.
Yeah, and see, the defensive hire was not risky. It was very standard. It was right out of the Saban playbook, bringing someone back who's been there countless times before. But there's no template for Tommy Rees, and I don't equate it to what Kirby's done. Kirby has brought in a guy he knows, a guy that was in the system, and I think that's the biggest part. This guy has not been part of the system. And you just don't know. You understand coaching, Shannon, because you've been there before. If for whatever reason they don't connect, and if they clash, and if Buckner turns out to miss on winning the starting job, what happens then?
You know, when Georgia was in the final stages of recruiting Arch Manning, I shared with a friend of mine that I kind of hoped Arch Manning didn't go to Georgia. And the reason I stood on that was that there had been so much talk about Kirby and the development of a quarterback, and Arch Manning was going to bring so much media attention with him, and all eyes are going to be on Athens. And if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, it's just going to exacerbate that whole quarterback development problem or stigma, if you will. And I think what's going on in Tuscaloosa right now is very similar to that, because all eyes are on the quarterback situation. All eyes are on Tommy Rees. Is he going to fit? Is it going to work? Is this really going to be a return to Bama ball of pushing folks around, which they're very capable of doing? There's no doubt the talent's there, but will it all line up and mesh? And I just think this is probably the riskiest hire that Saban's ever made.
And I think the caller misunderstood me earlier. You know, he talked about, well, you know, he's coming to be a backup. I don't believe that, number one.
No.
When I said time is short, I don't mean that there's any clock on Nick Saban, other than what if Kirby Smart does it again, Shannon? And you're trying to catch up to Kirby Smart. Nobody else matters right now in the mind of Alabama. They're not. I don't really believe they're concerned about LSU. They are in the world of Georgia football right now, and what happens over there matters in Tuscaloosa, just like for 6 years, what happened in Tuscaloosa mattered in Athens.
Yeah, and, you know, Paul, I've been a part of a couple of staffs that started a program in a new high school in Georgia. And, you know, we had a system that we believed in that we ran offensively, and we were struggling early in the development of that program. And there were coaches on our staff that wanted to turn to a new system of offense. And our head coach was very adamant. He's like, we're not going to give up what we're doing, because if we start changing at this point of the game, it shows a lack of belief in what we've been teaching all along. And I just wonder, you know, we got this whole change in offensive philosophy coming.
Can you help me? Can you help those of us who have never been on a coaching staff? What, in bringing someone new in, what's it like, and what can go wrong?
The biggest thing is you got to make sure they fit with the culture that you've built, the culture that you've established, that they're going to buy in, you know. And from a coaching perspective, you know, the philosophy was always behind the coaching office doors, you can disagree on anything, but once you walk on the grass, everybody's got to be on the same page. And we've got to show support for being on the same page. But then you start to bring in somebody like Tommy Rees, who has a different offensive philosophy, and then he brings in a quarterback who's different. And then if everything doesn't gel and jihad perfectly, Paul, you're going to start having some splintering of well, here's why it's not working, and it's his fault, and we changed this, and we did that, and we brought this guy in, and none of it's working. I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen. All I'm saying is that this is a tenuous, risky time. So that was kind of what I was bringing to the table today. Paul, I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Shannon. Eric is up next in Alabama. Hello, Eric.
Hey, there sure is a lot of rhetoric going on this show today and for the last couple of weeks there. First off, let me ask you a serious question. In today's offensive linemen that Alabama has recruited in the last 5 years, where do you see Andre Smith fitting in as far as comparison to the offensive linemen addressing one issue? Where would he rank amongst the ones that have been recruited in the Alabama program? What is your opinion on that, Bob? Because I can tell you he's nowhere near as good as the guys that are coming through there now. Okay, that's number one. Number two, the quarterback situation. Milroe cannot throw the football outside the numbers. That's plain as the nose on your face. You watch the football game. He cannot look down the field. He does not see the field. He can't throw the ball outside the numbers. He can throw the ball 80 yards, but he can't throw outside the numbers. So that squashes that. There's no comparison between him and Jalen Hurts whatsoever. You talk about winning and saving the season. Jalen Hurts saved the season for the University of Alabama when it comes to football. He did that. I don't understand how much more does this man down here need to do in Tuscaloosa to prove that he is exactly what Alabama's paying for. I mean, when that went on the board, the guys that was on the board back then said there's no man worth this kind of money to coach football. And look what he's brought to Alabama. I just don't understand all these people. They're never satisfied. How much more do you need to do? I just don't understand that. If you don't like what they're doing, don't turn the TV on. That is my perspective of it. That's my opinion of it. So let's quit down in Alabama football. Let this man do what he's got to do. Defenses are scheming. Everything's different. Nothing is the same, so you have to change with the times. You become complacent, then you're going to lose. That's just the way that it is. So everybody take a chill pill and just calm down. Let the man do his job. He knows what he is doing better than all of us. Anybody that's ever done it, he knows what he's doing. And that's my take on it. I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say. Thank you.
We will come back and get your reaction to all of that right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Let's continue. John in Louisville, you are next.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. Excuse the raspy voice. I'm just finishing my COVID period.
Oh, I thought you were getting ready to run in the Derby, and you were up already.
I know. Hey, that was a great opening with Jim and and then you got reeded out by the Alabama fan. I thought that was fair. And Squirrel, very entertaining today. Albeit he does sound a little bit like a jilted lover, but I love Squirrel. But Rick from Houston had mentioned other singers.
Yeah.
One of my favorite is Harry Chapin, Taxi.
Oh, man.
Cats in the Cradle, Better Place to Be. And my personal favorite would be Van Morrison.
Yeah, no, I saw Harry when I was in college, and probably about the four-hour mark, we said, it's midnight. I mean, we got to get out of here. Harry was still singing.
Yeah, he was great. He died too young. Hey, Paul, looking at that new schedule with the change in the CFP, college championship teams will play through January 20th.
Correct.
That seems awfully long. Is there any chance they could, I know there's money involved, of course, but any chance they can get rid of the conference games because they just end up beating each other up?
No, they're television bonanzas.
That's
translation money.
Yep, I hear you. Okay, thanks, Paul.
Get better, John. You sound terrible. Man, he got late COVID, didn't he? Let's check out Vance in Georgia.
Oh, man. That was
I don't know why, John. But I started, and this is maybe it's psychos. I started feeling badly in the middle of that phone call. I started getting a sweat and a scratchy throat.
Well, you sure cheered his ass up,
man.
There, John. You sound terrible.
That's the one thing you don't want on an early May day. I'm in my final COVID period.
Yeah, I don't know how I escaped that all along. I have no clue, Paul.
Vance, I am with you on that, and I'm sure it will strike me one day, but I was able to dance around it as well.
Yeah, well, you see, don't say that.
No, by the way, I don't think I can make it to the end of the show. I'm already getting sick from the John call.
Well, you know, seeing as this is total speculation time of the year, I've got one concrete fact that I think you might agree with. Everything else is speculation. Even Matt could agree with this. We don't know anything. I mean, all I hear is negativity about Alabama's upcoming season and their new coaching staff. If I remember correctly, a year ago, the Alabama fans, which I'm one of them, wanted to not only hang the coordinators, just get rid of them before the season ever started. Well, they're gone now, but nobody has any faith in the unknown. The unknown.
Yeah, some of it, Vance, is that Alabama has been at the top for the longest period ever, and it's just an adjustment. And the fact that Alabama is ranked number six in the country, we are reacting to that. Wow, that's terrible. How could that happen?
I think it's great, but here's what let me just say real quick. There's only two schools that are big time that I can name with good returning quarterbacks, and it's Michigan and Southern Cal. Okay, who cares? Of all the incoming new quarterbacks, there's one thing that one quarterback has, whoever he's going to be, that nobody else has, and it's the Georgia quarterback, because he's got Brock Ballard and McConkey. Can you imagine that for any new quarterback?
Well, I think that's a really good point. And the thing about Brock, he's been there for 3 or 4 years, so this isn't just a guy parachuting in.
No, and talk about a security blanket. And we have to believe they're going to have a good defense, a good O-line, and a good running game. I think that's a safe assumption, even though it's speculation time. So if people are worried about Georgia, I say be afraid. Be very afraid.
I am. I'm scared to death. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Sir Paul.
I like that.
Do you have your tickets ready for the coronation?
I am slipping out Friday night, taking the red eye over, and I will be sitting right behind Kate and William.
There you go. I've got two statements I want to make, if you allow me.
Sure.
First off, do these Alabama fans that are calling you a hater have dementia, or, and I hate to use that term, but it sounds like it, because when Alabama was on top, you were in their corner right and left.
I have been accused for 17 years of living in Nick Saban's guest house.
No.
And by the way, that is not true. I've only lived there for 11 out of the 17 years. I finally moved.
And then you moved up into the guest suite.
Well, yeah. Well, I got into the big house eventually.
But secondly, and I'm saying this out of pain and despair, what Nick has done by going into the portal is what Dabo Swinney should have done 2 years ago. Just because DJ played wonderful in two games did not guarantee he was going to have a wonderful career. And I think Nick has seen that. Just because I can't think of his name, the quarterback that played last year and for a couple games, he played pretty good. I don't think he's seen a season's worth of good in him. And so he's decided to make that move, and I think as a wonderful coach, I should be happy he did it.
Mitch, thanks. Appreciate it. We're heading to a break. Kirk Bowles, next hour, live from Austin, and we're coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Matt is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Hope everything is well, man.
We're great.
Listen,
thank you.
I called today because I think the Bama callers are in rare form today, rarer than ever. And the first thing I just want to do is just ask you a question. Has Alabama ever had a situation where the quarterback situation as it is now is like it is? I mean, in other words, has there ever been a time where they had this much uncertainty at quarterback?
If you went back to probably 2014, there was some confusion. They had a transfer in who was expected to win the job. He did not. And they came out of it fine. They had an elite defense back then. They had great receivers and running backs, so they were able to overcome it. But this is perplexing. They've never had five people in the running for the job, at least not in recent memory.
Yeah, and that's why. So here's the thing, Paul. I mean, these people are calling in and they're jumping all over you like you created this. I mean, Nick Saban created this. The Alabama football team created this. So, I mean, you've got to talk about it. And then, you know, here is the other thing. The guy who called in saying, hey, you know, Nick Saban knows what he's doing and everybody should just shut up and not question him. I disagree with that totally, because that's what sports media does. I mean, if you're a coach and you bring in a quarterback from Notre Dame and you bring in an offensive coordinator from Notre Dame, then you deserve to be questioned and it deserves to be talked about. And, you know, because Nick Saban isn't God, you know, and that's what I think a lot of these Alabama fans think, that, hey, you know, you can't question Nick Saban. You can't question the program when there's turmoil.
Now, you know the one thing I don't think is being discussed enough, though, and it's not so much even the quarterback, because going back to that period that I mentioned, Alabama had Lane Kiffin as the OC, so there was a feeling of confidence that he would come up with a system that got Alabama offensive production. Nobody really knows what to make out of the new coordinator, and I think there is angst there, especially now that the quarterback that he originally recruited and then decided wasn't good enough because he went into the portal, he is now brought to Alabama.
Right. And you know, Paul, so all I'm saying is, look, the Bama fans need to understand, you know, your program is not above reproach. Your program is not above questioning moves by your head coach or anybody else. And, oh, by the way, the Bama fans are the first one to call your show and question Mike Bobo and everybody else. You got Legend. He'll call in and talk about Mike Bobo like it's his offensive coordinator. And so now they've got some turmoil and they can't handle people talking about it. You know, the one guy called you and said you hate Bama, and I know that's not true because I've heard you praise Bama more than any team ever on your show. So it's just bizarre. I just felt I needed to call in, and I really appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you. I'm really glad to hear from you. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to bring some facts instead of opinions and rumors and speculation, and it won't take me long. Alabama, Clemson, and Georgia in the last 8 years, those are your three dominant programs. Alabama has gone to the national championship game 6 out of 8 years. Tide fans, settle down. And all the Georgia fans who say you're the dominant program, you're not. Georgia has gone 4 out of the past 8 years with a 2-2 record. Alabama, by the way, has won 3-3 of those 6 appearances. Georgia, you have gone 3 out of the last 8 years, and you are 2-1. Now, Paul, those are the facts. Tell me why. And last year, I think most people would agree, Bama was better than TCU, and they showed it by whipping Kansas State, and Georgia whipped TCU. So where has Alabama fallen off the map as the dominant program?
Well, Mark, if you use a cumulative standings, no one's going to come near Alabama for a considerable period of time. What we're talking about now is this moment in time, and at this moment, facts support Georgia. They've won 2 in a row. I know exactly what you just got through saying. I've lived through it and been to these games like you have. Alabama is not really fallen off the face of the earth. They have simply, for the last 2 years, falling behind Georgia. That's all we're talking about here. Jace is up next in Augusta. Hello, Jace. Jace, you there? No Jace. Danny in Texas. Hello, Danny.
Hello. Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Hope everything's going good for y'all. I do agree with you that last comment you just made. You know, Alabama has been the powerhouse for the last 10 years. I'm a diehard LSU fan, and it's a sin to say that Alabama was good, and it's a sin to say that you like Nick Saban, but both is true. They're the greatest of all times. Alabama rode the top for these past 10 years, and now you have to admit, I agree with you, Georgia's there, and you have to admit Alabama is below Georgia. And you're going to get some gripe. You know what I mean? They're going to gripe if somebody says something bad about them because they diehard Alabama fans. But I do agree with you to the fact that LSU has slipped and
But Danny, at the end of every season, we don't go, okay, well, let's look at the last 10 years and Alabama's still ahead.
No.
We talk about this season's all that matters. And I don't know why anybody needs to bring up what Alabama's done. It's the most common and well-known fact in college football history that Alabama since 2008, yeah. I'll get it right, since 2008 has owned college football.
And I agree with you. But I guess my thing is all these people complaining and everything else, they'll be back. You know what I mean? They will be back. But for now, you're going to have to take your lumps. And that's how
But Danny, I don't know how any realistic fan can come up with an answer other than Georgia when the question is asked, who has the best program in college football today? That's the conversation. It's not 4 years, 5 years. It's today. And we are looking at something that has never happened before in college football history if Georgia pulls this off. So if Georgia wins three in a row, is Alabama still the best? We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.